The Irish Times Inside Business podcast in association with Davy. It's amazing what you discover when you really listen.
Hello and welcome to Inside Business with Ciarán Hancock, a podcast from the Irish Times. Sales and repairs of motor cars came to a grinding halt in March when the government locked down the economy to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Some of those restrictions are due to be lifted on Monday, but you still won't be able to go to a showroom and buy a car until June. Now, this has left the motor trade scratching his head, and Stephen Gleeson of Hyundai Ireland will explain why to me in a few moments. But with garages closed for repairs, many people have turned to the net for spare parts, which has led to a boon for Irish online trader MixGarage.com. Ciarán Crean, who runs MixGarage with his brother Mick, joins me to discuss that. But Stephen, we might start first of all with you. Perhaps you could just explain to us how the industry, and Hyundai Ireland in particular, has been impacted by the lockdown.
Yeah, thanks, Ciarán. Obviously, since the lockdown, the car market has just completely closed up. I think the figures for April were 97% down. So it doesn't get closer to zero than that, really. And I think even the few cars that were going out to the Army, the HSE, the Guards. So effectively, the business has really completely shut down from a car sales perspective since the lockdown. And obviously, that's in line with plenty of other businesses. We're not unique in that respect. So 100% shut down, effectively, on the sales front.
So, Stephen, maybe let's just go through a few numbers. I was looking at SIMI's, the Society of the Irish Motor Industry. They collect data for car sales in Ireland every year. And the sales for last year, about 117,000. In 2018, it was 125,000. So that was down. Maybe a bit of a Brexit impact there. I don't know. And if we look at this year for April, 344 vehicles sold versus 8,900. These are, regular passenger vehicles. And the number for Hyundai was 47 in April, and you've about 5,000 for the year as a whole. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, April is just complete write-off for the industry. Up till the lockdown, I'd say we were probably heading for a market this year of something similar to last year, which in and of itself isn't great. The industry really hasn't recovered since 2008, when the crash came, 2008, 2009. But that's probably out the window now in terms of coming anywhere near that for the year, because I think we've lost effectively half of March, April, May and June potentially at the moment.
And Stephen, from Monday, just so people are clear, from Monday, after sales are available from garages. So if you have a problem with your car, you can go to a garage, you can go to a dealer and hopefully they'll be able to sort it out for you. But if you want to buy a car, that service won't be available. That's being kicked out until June.
Yeah, that's the reality. No, actually, most of our dealers have been open throughout the close down from an after sales perspective, because we actually look after the Garda fleet. So the Guards requested us to stay open to keep them on the road, because obviously they're still doing high mileage and their cars have to be kept. So our guys have been partially open. I mean, we wouldn't be making a living on it, let's put it that way, but we provide that service so that we've kept open, and it has been actually slightly beneficial in terms of it just kept the guys ticking over, one or two staff in, they're not completely closed down. But next Monday, you're correct, or the 18th May, we'll be fully open on the after sales side of the business. So, and indeed, customers are contacting the dealerships now looking to put their cars in, because plenty of cars are overdue for service, or indeed the customer had a problem with the car. So yes, we'll be fully open for after sales. And it does give the scenario that there is a kind of a, really, I think this is where, firstly, I think the government done a great job so far with the response to the COVID-19 virus. And you can't just say it's by accident, because if you could compare our response as a government and Leo Varadkar very well with Boris Johnson, Donald Trump, what's the reaction of some of the other countries to the virus. So I think they've done a great job, but I do think now that the broad brush approach has to start getting a bit more forensic, because there are some elements here where the government have done a great job, but if we don't exit the crisis in a proper orderly fashion, they're going to lose a lot of the benefit and a lot of the praise for the work they've done. And I think the car sales analogy would be a perfect example of what I'm talking about, because if you look at the scenario that a customer comes in next Monday, Tuesday to get their car repaired, and let's say the car is not repairable, or there's enough of a bill with it that the customer says, look, I don't really want to spend that amount of money repairing this car, I'll trade it in against a new car. And that happens all the time. Or not even a new car, but a second-hand car. So they might be driving a 2013 car, a Ford, a Volkswagen, a Hyundai. It's the same in all the garages. and want to trade that in for maybe a car that's 3 or 4 more years up. Well, the scenario on Tuesday is that customer would need to be told, well, sorry, but our car sales aren't open, so you have to go home and, you know, get the bus for the next 3 weeks and then come back to us on the 8th of June. But that's a kind of a crazy scenario. It'd be like telling a restaurant they could open, you know, when they can open, serve starters but no main course. So we need to, I think, start joining the dots. And I think there's a big misunderstanding in our industry about the number, the quantity of customers. I mean, we would hope maybe to sell 20,000 cars in July as an industry, something like that. If you consider there are probably 400 main dealers in the country, 400 main franchise dealers, that's an average of 50 cars per dealer. You're probably talking about 150 customers visiting the showroom over the course of a month to sell that number of cars. And maybe, you know, that's 5 or 6 customers per day. And maybe the same again for secondhand cars. You're talking 12 or 15 people visiting a garage per day to buy a car into 4,000 or 5,000 square feet showrooms. So it just, like, social distancing is, you know, beyond available and beyond doable in car sales showrooms. So we would really be saying to the government that, could they not look to, some things are so self-evidently true. If you've got 15 or 16 customers a day coming into a showroom over a 10-hour day, social distancing is utterly doable. And it's, you're really asking the car industry to open in a way that just makes no sense at all. So, like, even at this late stage, we'd be saying, please, can we, somebody in government take responsibility? And where something is self-evidently true, that there's minimal risk, that they allow the industry to open up properly.
Okay. Now, while you guys have been shut and garages, Fred in the Shed has been shut since the lockdown in March, online, mixgarages.com has been filling some of the void for people who are in need of spare parts for their cars. And joined by Ciarán Crean. Ciarán, you're very welcome. You and your brother, Mick, I think I'm right in saying, own and run the business. It's been up and running now for, what, about 17 years? Perhaps your moment in the sun has arrived. Just tell us a little bit about the kind of demand that you've seen come true since the lockdown was introduced.
I mean, we've probably fortunate enough to be on the other side of that picture. For ourselves, we would typically be a very a busy business organization anyway. But pretty much since the lockdown, actually after the first weekend, I think when the Irish public were probably more concerned about hoarding rice and bread, and every franchise or every organization took a dip. From then on, it's been a steady climb since then. We're pretty much up 100% year on year, and you know, that has been great for us. But indeed, we've had to respond to operational challenges to meet that as well. And specifically, most of our administration and finance and development staff, anyone who can and who wants to, is working from home. We've shut down our click and collect counter, so we don't allow any of the public to come through our door. It's pretty much locked. We've had to and quite rightly introduce social distancing principles all through the warehouse, and via masks and gloves and hand dispenser, etc. But I think for the first 4 or 5 weeks, we were very reluctant to bring any new hires into the team organization, as you would expect, and just to keep to retain the existing environment. And therefore, it's been all hands to pump to some degree, particularly for the first 5 to 6 weeks of this. And now recently, actually, we have started to hire. We've taken on additional staff to help us to cope with the volume. We've been very fortunate that we can actually continue to trade and indeed to provide employment for some staff who may have been let go from other industries. We expect this to continue probably until the servicing trade probably next week starts to come back online and our motor factor competition starts to deliver or start to offer those type of products that customers are coming to us for. However, we've seen a massive demand across all sides of our catalogue, from, you know, thousands of units of car care, whether it be Auto Glim, etc. Batteries is a massive one. We're up about 560% on batteries year on year in April. Battery chargers, jump packs. As the public are leaving the car 4, 5, 6 weeks and longer on their driveway, they're finding that when they come out to start it, that actually a battery that may have been somewhat weak or compromised in the past now just does not start. and therefore we're finding sales on that. And indeed, we do a wide selection of Draper tools as well. So probably in line with all the hardware stores, whether you're looking for a torque wrench or nuts and bolts or, you know, gardening products, you know, we're finding that customers are coming to us for a massive amount of reasons. And indeed, buying in type of volume, which kind of indicates that they expect that they may not be able to source that for some time. For example, I mean, you know, famous in the industry is your typical one shot. So you can get at four quarts to chuck in your tank. We have customers come on. One customer even bought 50, for example. So we would see very, very huge volumes across a wide swathe of our catalog, and probably nothing in particular, really.
Is it true that I heard that the guards have been onto you looking to supply some wingmers? Is that true?
Yeah, we've had the only customers that, to some degree, that we allow in the door would be the guards to come. So we have supplied some wingmer components, and indeed, actually, even from the parts side, we've had sprayers as well, where guards may want to spray vehicles or vans down for transportation, etc. So we do, and we have supplied that, and also indeed various products to other side of the front line out there.
Right. And is it just Ireland you're supplying these goods to, Ciarán, or is it other parts of Europe?
You know, we're very much, while we're dominating predominantly, of course, is most of everything from Ireland. We have a very strong UK business, and we ship everywhere. I mean, whether it be the States or Australia or anywhere that they're looking for product, and we offer delivery currently to about 26 countries. And quite often we would get orders from all 26 countries, albeit on a much, much smaller volume. Anyway, predominantly Ireland and the UK, and then Anzac from thereafter is Australia, New Zealand, and the US.
And in revenue terms, what will that mean for the business, this sharp increase that you've seen, let's say, over the past 6 or 8 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it'll mean that our business, particularly Ireland, our business will pretty much be up 100% year on year, without disclosing actually any revenue metrics, but pretty much up 100% year on year within April. But we have seen some declines on other sides. So, for example, we would traditionally be incredibly strong on travel and leisure around this time of year, whether it be roof racks and boxes, as consumers and the public are there planning their holidays, whether it be throughout Ireland or heading on a ferry to France, etc. So we've seen quite a significant decline on that side of the business. Now, how that will pan out as you head into the summer and relative staycations, I suppose let's wait and see. We don't really know what the world's probably going to look like in the next 2 weeks, never mind 3 months down the line. But look, we're grateful for it, and we'll take it as it's going. But you know, we would hope, particularly probably from an online side, that we would hope that we would see a continuing migration of consumers online. We've had a significant amount of new customers who have not used us in the past, and we expect that quite a lot of online sites have probably experienced that, and we would hope that, as an online industry, that those customers are now comfortable with ordering online and will continue to do so, not necessarily when the crisis is in play.
At Davy, we know uncharted territory can be a challenge. We've been in business since 1926, and since then, we've advised many different clients through many global and national crises. Some will seek comfort in the safe and familiar, while others will embrace the opportunity to try something new. Throughout the years, we've not only listened to our clients, we've got to know you personally, helping us advise you on a financial life plan that suits you best. Davy, it's not just business, it's personal. Janie Davy, trading as Davy, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. We take our responsibilities personally.
Stephen Gleeson, I'm just wondering, have your retailers, your dealers, have they been able to do any selling online? Have they been able to do any virtual viewings? We're hearing about this in the housing market. I don't know if it works for the motor trade, or have they been dealing with inquiries over the phone?
Yeah, well, actually, everybody's getting ramped up now to put all these systems in place, and some of the dealers have been very proactive about it. I would say that all the dealers are taking phone calls at their from home in some cases, or in the office in some cases, and they're able to do walk-arounds on the cars using FaceTime or products like See It Now or Quick Video. So there is the ability to do show people cars online, absolutely. And indeed, we have a whole online platform in Hyundai where you can apply for finance online, get approval online, view the car online, and then effectively have the car delivered to your house. So you don't actually have to visit the dealership at all. And that's a big step for people in terms of buying. It's one thing to buy, a set of carpet mats or something like online. Buying and investing in a brand new car or a secondhand car that's several thousand euros, most people still want to see the car in person. So it's not necessarily an industry can move online as quickly as some things which are a lesser investment.
Sure. And tell me, where do we go from here for the industry? I mean, in the past, we've had scrappage schemes. But is that going to be enough? Would you like to see something like that or a cut in VRT? How likely is that? And we've got the Greens coming into government now as part of the new government, and they want to introduce a whole range of new taxes. And I think it's fair to say they will have your industry in their sights.
Well, it's funny that people tend to equate the Greens with, they don't want to sell cars, but the Greens want to bring down emissions in the country. And there's no quicker way of bringing down the emissions than by taking old cars off the road by selling new ones. And I don't necessarily mean scrapping cars. I mean, the car park in this country is on average 9 years old. And the technology in petrol cars, diesel cars, hybrid cars, that has changed so much over the last 9 years that even if you just get a 9-year-old car off the road, not some old banger like, put new cars on the road, you're bringing down emissions hugely. So, I think actually we cannot improve the emissions of the car park in Ireland unless we sell more new cars. And it can't happen by magic. You have to take the older cars off the road by putting new cars on the road if you're going to bring the overall CO2 emissions down. I actually think that the scrappage scheme will be welcome, but I think it's a flawed matrix because an awful lot of the older cars have been put off the road by NCTs, etc. That's all very good and very correct. I actually think what the government should do is introduce a one-off, just for the month of July, 3,000 euro VRT reduction to encourage people to come out and buy a car in July. And there's a taxes and jobs angle here, Kieran, that's very relevant. I mean, let's say we could sell 10,000 extra new cars in July. The average taxes in a new car, your standard enough new car, is 15,000 euros. So a 3,000 euro reduction would still mean 12,000 euros of tax take on 10,000 extra cars. That's 150 million of extra taxes for the government. And there's a misunderstanding about our industry. When a new car is sold, generally speaking, someone trades in a car against that. So a 2018 car against a 2020, then that car is sold to someone else who's driving a 2014 against 2018. One new car sale can generate two or three other sales. So 10,000 extra sales can generate 40,000 actual new cars, can generate 40,000 sales in total. And all of those cars have to be sold by the salesman, have to be valeted by the valeters, they have to be prepared for sale by the mechanics, they have to be dealt with by the admin people. These are jobs. And it's going back to what I said earlier. If we can't open our garages properly till the 8th of June, we're missing out on all the people that should be buying cars now and during June. And this will cost jobs in the industry. I mean, and it's, as I said earlier, the social distancing in our garage is so utterly simple. And all of the dealerships in all of the brands, I'm not just talking my hand here, everybody's putting in massive effort into getting PPE and getting screens between customers. There's huge taxes to be gained for the government here, lots of jobs to be saved. It's really, I hate the expression no-brainer, but if ever there was one, I'd be appealing to the government who have done a great job to do it here for us and let us open properly on the 18th of May.
Stephen, how many jobs are we talking about being on the line potentially in Hyundai?
Well, there's 50,000 jobs in the industry, and it's an industry position. So, I mean, I have heard, Simon, I have said there could be 10,000 jobs at stake across the industry if we cannot get this industry working back properly. Because really, you only get an extra couple of months of proper new car business in this year. Because once you get to August, September, basically people say, well, I won't buy a car now, I'll wait till January. But unfortunately, the industry, the 50,000 people are relying on their jobs and their income in this industry, we have to get to January.
And how many cars would you expect to sell typically in July?
We would expect to sell between 2,000 and 2,500 cars in your typical July. So, I mean, that will be, last year the market was 25,000 and we would be looking to get in around 10% of that market and everybody else gets their section as well. So everyone will suffer accordingly.
And if your dealers can't reopen for sales until June, what's the likely outcome for sales in July?
I think it's a very hard call, Kieran, and I'm not ducking the question, but it is a very hard call. And people talk about the July car market as being a big one, but really the July car market, if you go back in time before pre-2013, July was only 5 or 6% of the year, and now it's kind of 20% of the year. But March, April, and May used to be much bigger. Now people in April and May are deferring their purchase decision until July. They're saying, I'll pick my car up in July because I'll get the 202 plate. It's not necessarily a July market. Every day we're closed, like from the 18th of May until the 8th of June, is a day that the people who normally bought their car in May and June are not buying their car. So it's not that we'll be back open for July. We're missing out on sales now. We're people coming in, booking their car, ordering their car to pick it up in July. Once people don't make that decision now, they get to June and they go, look, I'll just wait.
And Stephen, if there is to be a VRT break, I mean, there might be an argument for that VRT break perhaps only being available, or for whatever break they introduce, only being available for, let's say, electric cars or hybrid cars.
Look, to be quite honest with you, electric or hybrid only, there isn't a supply of cars of electric or hybrid only in the market to actually generate the sufficient volume of sales that will be needed to get this industry going again. Now, we sell, I don't have any agenda here. Like, we are, one of our best-selling cars is the Honda Kona. It's the subcompact SUV, or compact SUV you might call it, and it sells in electric, in hybrids, in petrol, and in diesel. And you know, so I have no particular agenda here. There is a car for everybody that will suit your own personal driving style and your mileage, your lifestyle, your requirements. And we don't have enough electrics or enough hybrids to supply everybody in the market. That's just a simple fact. And equally, by the way, they're not the right cars for everybody in the market. If you're doing exceptionally high mileage, diesel may still be the car for you in terms of the CO2 emissions if you're doing very high mileage. You know, so there is no right answer here. And I suppose one message we try to get out to our customers and put across to our customers from Hyundai is that if you're looking to get some, let's call it impartial advice as to what's the right car for you, if you come to a Hyundai dealer, they have all those cars. They're not just trying to push one technology because that's all we have. We have all the range of cars with electric, hybrid, diesel, petrol, plug-in hybrid, mild hybrid. And the dealers can advise you as to what would suit you. And I think that's very important because there is a massive confusion. We've done the market research. There's a lot of confusion out there with people about what they should do next around cars. And I think that's certainly one of the unique selling points we try with our dealers is that we can give you honest advice because we have all of the different ranges, which is pretty unique, actually.
And Stephen, people might be curious as to how production, manufacturing of your vehicles has coped over the last couple of months, because obviously you're a Korean-owned company. This hit in Asia first, although I think Korea probably handled it better than a lot of other countries. But how has manufacturing been impacted?
Yeah, the Koreans, it's a fantastic country and fantastic people. And they have handled it exceptionally well. I mean, the factories in Korea were pretty much shut down for a minimal amount of time, to my knowledge, I think only days. So they really handled it very well. We also have a production plant in Europe, in Czech Republic, and that was closed for about 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So in general, I think they've handled it pretty well on the supply line. And it's probably, if there's one in a scenario where our sales in April were 97% down, if there's one bright spot in the thing, it's that our production time, our production supply from Korea takes about 6 weeks from a ship leaving to get it here. And in the shutdown of sales, a lot of cars that we were waiting on, that we didn't have in stock for customers, and customers were waiting on, have actually arrived and are in the country now and in the compound. So if there's one small bright spot, it's that we have the stock on the ground now.
Kieran Crean, I just wonder, have we reached an inflection point in terms of people buying online as opposed to going to a physical trader for their spare parts?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think particularly in spare parts, as opposed to the online industry, is a very technical business. And I still think the public and the consumer out there do still value the great advice they will get at their local service centre relative to the parts and the acquiring and the fitting of them. I do think there will be a lot more consideration going forward in relation to, you know, where can I source their product? What kind of advice do I need? And how quickly can I get it? Particularly in the automotive industry and parts, they tend to be very time-sensitive requirement. You know, for the softer side of a catalogue, for a roof rack, you don't need a roof rack to bring your kids to school. It's a hope not. But you certainly need an air filter today to actually in your car to bring your kids to school. So I don't think there's going to be a massive change on the parts side. what we're seeing is we're just seeing a demand for those prosumers, we call them, or those DIY guys who now have the time on their hands to actually fix their car either in the driveway or in the shed. But for our industry, I don't see a massive change. I do, for on online, outside of the real technical side of it, I do see a significant lift for online and continue to grow. You know, I think there will be a wariness around the public and consumers looking to go to stores. And they go, you know, the thing they might just consider, why would I bother queuing? Relative, I don't necessarily know or aware of the precautions being taken at that particular store or retail end, when I can literally probably just sit at home and get it online. So until the crisis eases out, I think there will still be an ongoing lift for online. I think the industry as a total, it's how quickly the traditional retailers can catch up to ensure that they're also catching that type of wave, and also, you know, introducing probably some innovative methods to it. I mean, my local butcher in Rathfarnham is now delivering online. It's now you ring or you order online, he will deliver to you, and he will have it quicker than anything I could ever get to you. So I think the smaller retailers are, we've heard some great news stories over the last few months, particularly in the restaurant sector, but moving beyond that. And I think it's those retailers who provide that great local service will thrive and continue to thrive and put it up to guys like us.
Maybe come to you, Stephen, finally. I just wonder, is this the moment, an inflection point for the motor industry in terms of its sales model? Should it be revamped? Should we be selling new cars online? Or is it possible to sell new cars online? Is that, you know, is that potentially the future?
I think maybe rather than an inflection point for new car sales, I would say probably an inflection point for the industry. I mean, like, at the end of the day, if you're buying a 30 or 40,000 euro car, it just isn't the same as buying. I'm not saying there won't be some people buy, and there are some people buy. I mean, you know, there are already people, the odd person buying a car online completely from start to finish, a new car I'm talking about. But generally speaking, if someone's buying a 35, 40,000 pound car, they want to go and see it. And that will, I think, continue. But the industry is moving more and more online. I mean, as every industry is. I mean, like, even, for instance, if you were coming to a Hyundai garage next week, or indeed if one of our dealers is picking a car up and bringing it into the garage, what you're going to get from our garages is a video done by your mechanic from under your car, showing you this is what needs to be done with your car. That gets emailed to you. You will then approve that work online. The work will be carried out. So you're actually having a live interactive experience almost with the mechanic on the ramp. Like, that is the level of technology and innovation that's going into the garages now. And, you know, in the sense that I would say the inflection point is that more and more people will be comfortable doing things online, approving work online to be done, as opposed to seeing it or opposed to talking to a service advisor at the counter about that work. So, you know, the industry is definitely coming forward in terms of online usage at the moment, rather than particularly the new car sales part of it.
All right. And what do you think your chances are of getting that VRT reduction from the government?
Well, you know, I suppose, given that we don't have a government at the moment, it's probably difficult to get anything through. But I would hope that if a government is formed over the next few weeks, that the incoming government could give a heads up that they want to raise a lot of taxes and save a lot of jobs by doing something for a very short period, month of July. If you look at what the Revenue Commission is able to do around the COVID-19 payment, you know, when there's a decision made at the top level to make something happen, it happens. And I suppose if Leo Varadkar was listening to the Irish Times podcast, I'd say if he wanted to do it, he could make it happen.
All right. Well, hopefully he is. Anyway, we'll leave it there, gentlemen. Stephen Gleeson and Ciarán Crean, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ciarán. Bye.
Okay, that's it for this week from Inside Business. My thanks to Stephen Gleeson and Ciarán Crean. Thanks also to our new sponsor, Davy Group, for their support. Suzanne Brennan produced and edited the show. And remember, you can get the latest business news straight into your inbox by signing up to our Business Today email at irishtimes.com. And you can also follow the Irish Times business feed on Twitter, LinkedIn and Facebook each day. I'm Ciarán Hancock. Until next time, take care, stay safe and stay home.